What's good, everybody? First, before you listen to this podcast, I just want to say I love you guys and just appreciate with all my heart. I hope everybody's doing super well. I also want to talk about the new hit show, Tea with Gary Vee, every morning, 9 a.m. Eastern on Facebook Live, facebook.com/Gary. Tea with Gary Vee, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., 2 hours of me doing Q&A with people individually, the deepest in-depth that I've ever done, more than Ask Gary Vee. I'm super excited about it. It's on facebook.com/Gary every morning at 9 a.m. Eastern. It's a smash. If you go on social media, people are freaking out. Maybe my best content pillar ever. West Coast, wake up at that 5:45 time, brush your teeth and get on it. We got a lot of West Coast people on it. Hope you enjoy it. Hope I see you there. Love you guys. See ya.
This is the Gary Vee Audio Experience.
Yeah, okay, it's tea with Gary V. Sipping empathy. I know patience is the key. Putting out all of my shit for free.
Good morning. May 6th. We are in the building. Tea with Gary V. I am Gary V. Big day. Thank you. Big day because Twitch has joined us live. And so before we get into the show, big shout outs to a lot of the Twitch Zeus. What's good? Michelle Myers on Facebook. What's good? Johnny Five. What's good? On Twitch, I love that. So the Twitch family's in the building. Official Cozy, great to see you. Tea with Gary Vee is here. Thank you so much. Just Another Amy, really appreciate it. Really, really appreciate it. And thanks for everybody else who's on every other platform. Big shout out to everybody on Instagram. We go a little bootleg, kind of got to just film it like this because it doesn't attach to the incredible platform we use, StreamYard, which has been fantastic for us and has really helped create this infrastructure. Dustin on the ones and twos, good morning to you, brother. How are you?
Excellent.
Oh, well?
Yeah.
Good, bro.
I can't see the Twitch for some reason. I don't know. I'm not
in the comments.
I mean, I see it here within StreamYard, but I'm trying to just watch it on my phone, like as if I was a guest. And I don't know. Maybe I just don't know what I'm doing.
That's highly likely.
Yeah.
Let's get into it. What's good, Jason from Twitch? Hey.
Hey.
What's up, Kamish?
How are you?
I'm well. Tell everybody who you are. This is awesome.
Is awesome. It's so awesome to see you. Hi, everybody. Johanna Ferris, Commissioner of the Call of Duty League. And it's just an honor to be here. Good morning.
Have you been? Everything well?
Everything's well. You know what? We're busier now than we might have been before this whole crisis hit, you know?
So for everybody who's watching, if you're unaware, I'm the minority owner of the Minnesota Rocker, which is a team in the Call of Duty League. And it's been a great venture so far. And obviously with what's going on with COVID, the macro esports landscape is getting more and more attention. And obviously we have a format where people do travel and we do have fans and we had the opening weekend. So we've been affected in that way, but the infrastructure of our game obviously scales to this new world. What's been the biggest observations from your standpoint?
Yeah, I would say I use this word a lot, but the resiliency of the business model, right? Like we were cranking on live events, as you know. We launched in Minnesota. You were there. It was fire, especially for day one. And, you know, unfortunately, this whole world is going through unprecedented challenges. We all know that. But we're still able to operate thanks to technology and just what esports affords you, right? So I think there's just been a really cool new wave of innovation that's frankly has had to come through because of what we're going through here.
And before we get into your question, how has it been to be a commissioner of a sport? Like it's kind of neat. Like
it's the best. It's the best. I know you want to
go ahead.
You know, I know we talk about this a lot, just being a part of sports and whether you want to own a team or, you know, be on the league op side, but to be able to head this up is just an honor. It's incredible.
What's been the biggest challenge and what's been kind of the most pleasant surprise, just out of my own curiosity?
Yeah, I would definitely say the biggest challenge is, I think, as you know, Call of Duty is a monster franchise. It's been around for so long and the esport has been around for a really long time, right? So there was already these built-in expectations, built-in ways of doing things, rituals, traditions, the whole nine that you really have to respect when you come in. This is not, you know, a brand new, never been done before type of proposition for the league. So we were rebooting, but we also had to marry that with an you know, honoring the legacy of where we've been. So I'd say that's been an interesting challenge and one that we've embraced. You know, biggest surprises, we've got everyone around the horn, yourself, we've got some of the biggest celebrities coming through the doors. We've got, you know, these incredible competitors from, you know, the scene, both new names from pros who are gonna, you know, make their mark going forward, pros who've been, again, in the scene for many years. So I would just say it's just like the amount of faces and an interest level in what we're doing, from people who've known about it for a long time, people who are just getting involved, people coming in from traditional sports. It's really an interesting convergence, I'd say, of a lot of different industries.
I love it. Well, it's great to see your face. Any questions before I move on here?
No, it's just great to see you. Are you well?
I am well. You know, just navigating through this, you know, the first 3, 4, 5 weeks was really about A, make sure family's okay, you know, just like really quantifying the disease. And then very, very quickly, within the first couple of days of it, just, you know, there's 7 companies under my holding company, you know, that I'm the CEO of. I'm the CEO of the biggest company within it. So just navigating through that world while also navigating through just getting crushed in public speaking, like all that revenue's gone, like, you know, just, you know, wartime general shit.
Sure.
You know, totally. You know, just, you know, I think a lot of people sign up for entrepreneurship over the last decade because it was cool and seemed easy and fun and the thing to do. And I think a lot of people are experienced, especially if you're under 32 and you have a business, you're experienced for the first time, you know, a punch in the gut and really navigating it. And it's been a fun challenge.
Yeah. Well, good luck with it.
Thank you.
Good luck this weekend to the Rocker. We'll be
excited about it. Thanks, Hannah. Take care.
Take care.
That was fun. Bye. It was a fun surprise, Dustin. I like you guys. You guys are up to all sorts of tricks. Big shout out to everybody on Twitch, which is exploding here in the comment section. If you're interested in being a mod, we got to hit up Dustin or somebody on the team. Dustin, I don't know if you want to throw into Team Gary V chat, maybe Zane or Tyler Schmidt or somebody wants to jump into the, a lot of people, you know, throwing their hands up to be mods, which can be fun. I mean, there's a lot of incredible ecosystem that is Twitch, I think, has a lot of fun. So we'll see.
Okay. Right,
let's keep it moving.
What's going on? How you doing, man?
I'm good, Chaz. How are you? Nice hoodie.
I'm chilling. Yeah. Thank you. Oh, yeah. TikTok. I already know. Yeah. So good morning.
Morning.
For anybody who doesn't know me, my name's Chaz Smith. I'm a content creator, formerly on Vine, now on YouTube, Instagram, TikTok. I never thought I would be wearing a TikTok hoodie. But so my question for you is, as a content creator, there can be a lot of just emotional ups and downs, especially for like somebody like me. I create skits and content that's humorous and supposed to bring people joy. So my question is, during times when I am not authentically feeling joyful, it's hard to be motivated to create something, create content. What advice would you have for people?
Two things.
Like that. Yeah.
That's a great question. Two things. One, go to sleep. Like, don't, you know, like, you know, forcing it is, you know, this, you've probably had to persevere. I've gone through it on stage or in a live stream. Like, sometimes there's just something else on your mind. There's other things going on and you can't be that 100, you know? So one, for content creation, I think it's okay to not post for a day or a week or even a month. Like, as much as I'm ambitious for my audience to be like, hey, 3-4 times a day across all these platforms, 40 piece of content a day.
Yeah.
That's when you're in it. If you're not in it, then I think it's super incredible to not do it or take a break or have 36 hours pass and then get on it. Or, which I think would be really powerful, post a piece of content about that. So if you're the funny guy and making people laugh and escapism, but then you post like, yo, today's a tough day. Like, I'm not in character. Like, yo, this is where I'm at. I think that brings a lot of value to people.
Vulnerability.
Vulnerability is super powerful. And honestly, it's something I struggle with. And like, I in general don't like, you know, showing vulnerability. I don't like, you know, talking about when I'm not in it. I kind of go in a cocoon. Like, my whole career, my whole life, really, if I'm not in a good place, I just kind of, quote unquote, go to sleep, because I'm just not interested in passing on my negativity or my struggles on others. However, when you're in the public domain, there is a level of like showing people like humanity and things of that nature that could be powerful. Yeah. That's highly personal, but I think one or two are really good options, Chaz, in that situation. Like, don't beat yourself up if you don't go at it for a week just because you're in a slump, or feel the power to actually just share, like, yo, I'm in a slump. I'll be back. Just a couple things I'm working through in my dome, you know?
Yeah. Word. Follow-up question to that. Yeah. We got time.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. So one thing I'm working on now, also, especially while we have just this time to slow down while we're staying at home, is I'm working on building a greater structure for, I guess, the business and financial side of my stuff. But going back and forth between that and creating can be difficult mentally too. Like, what do you do to, separate the creative aspects of your work from, or to go back and forth between the creative and business aspects of your work? Like, I'm sure you hire people and delegate with tasks, but.
For me, those two things come super natural because I mm-hmm. can be creative and I am in general business oriented. But yeah, I think that's right. I think you figure out, you know, whether it's a manager or something of that nature, you know, somebody that you trust that can hold down, you know, the creative part's on you, unless you get a creative partner who like writes or helps or, you know, things of that nature. But
yeah
I think the whole world is based on doubling down on your strengths and really sourcing out your weaknesses. I think that 98% of the people that are watching right now spend way much too much time trying to fix their shortcomings.
Mm-hmm.
When the reality is the upside there is slightly, a slight growth. Whereas if they just went ham on the shit that they love and they're best at, they mm-hmm. get a ton more value. And then that actually extracts dollars to be able to subsidize the things that they are not as good at. So yes, I do think hiring and building teams is super powerful.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
I got you. I hope you do well. Talk to you.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye. Morning. Big shout out to Twitch. You guys are lighting up the comment section. Hookaj, what's up? What's up, Sabi? Abel Franco, Edison Jersey in the building. Abel, you keep bringing up a certain Daily V episode and a timestamp. I need you to put that in the comments of what that is. Or we might just need to get Abel on the fucking show. Dustin, let's work on that. Let's get Abel on the show. All right, let's keep this going.
Hey, Gary, how are you?
I'm well, James. How are you?
Best day of my life.
Thank you.
I win. Orange challenge, 5 minutes with you.
Thank you, my friend. Where are you from?
I'm from China. Came here 10 years ago to do my grad school. And now I got my PhD. Everything's set. I'm a data scientist. But I feel like I've already achieved my biggest dream, which is come to US. And I was wondering, well, what's the next? How can I become like Gary Vee? How can I become my version of Gary Vee? You know, that's my question.
That's a great question, James. I think the way to be your version of me is to just truly be yourself and really lean into what you want to be doing. I think so much of what I look back at in the last 20 years, professionally specifically, is, you know, me just being comfortable being me. You know, when I first wanted to do speaking, everyone told me that I couldn't curse. I kept cursing. When I started my career, I worked for my dad's liquor store, even though, you know, I knew there'd be, you know, certain parts of that like people would judge me of like working in my dad's shop. But, you know, when I wanted to bet the farm financially on investing in Facebook and Twitter, I didn't listen to my financial advisors that were advising the wine store from a finance standpoint. I just felt very comfortable being me. And I think that's ultimately, you know, the thing I'm best at is actually being me. The thing I'm best at is being Gary. And I think for, you know, not being your full self is really where most people get into unhappiness, when they're living for other people's opinions. And so I think you need, you know, and that's really tough Asian cultures and, you know, parents, and I'm, you know, PhD, like I get it. I know the kind of like symbols that make it difficult, but the way you can do it is actually just being your full self.
Thank you so much, Gary.
You're welcome, cheers.
And, you know, like, if I don't ask, I'm just going to regret my rest of life.
No problem.
I don't want to leave any regret. So, like, can I come to work for Gary Vee, Team Gary Vee? I probably know your answer already. So
what do you think you can provide? You know, it's a very tricky time, more than ever in the last 10 years. We have a fiscal responsibility that, you know, in a world where we have to let some people go to make our liquidation challenges work, it's hard to hire when you're letting people go. On the flip side, you know, the reality is the answer is maybe. I think if you email me at Gary at Vaynermedia and tell me what you can do, I'll have Andy from my team, who runs my team and hires for my team, interview you. No regrets. Here's your chance.
Awesome. Appreciate
you. Got
love
it.
You. Love Dustin. Love Zane. Like, you guys are great.
Thank you, brother. Take care.
Take care.
All right, let me get in the comments here for a second. Man, I'm really loving the Twitch action is on fire. Like, I'm loving it. Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, you guys have to rev up your comments here because Twitch is out of control right now.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's like twice as much as normal.
Yeah, because fucking Twitch knows how to do it. Like, yeah. That's the beauty of Twitch when you really look at it. Like, just the sheer energy of the community reminds me so much of old school, like, chats and like and just like message boards. It's true internet culture. It's true community. You know, I think YouTube has been pretty strong, Dust, in the comments.
Yeah.
I think Facebook should be up a little bit, and I think that Twitter Periscope is kind of like low in comparison, but Twitch has come in here. You know, we might have to get into like a whole like battle between like all the streams and see like which community's the most ham. So anyway, let's keep it going. I mean, Twitch is exploding.
Yeah, right? It's going nuts.
Do you have any idea how many people are on Twitch?
Yeah, it says on my thing, it's right under 6,000 for Twitch.
Okay.
3,400 for Facebook.
Yep.
1,600 on YouTube and about just under 300 on Twitter.
Makes sense. Man, Twitch has got the most already.
Yeah, like
it's
staying at 5.99 so
I haven't jammed enough Twitch fam. I haven't jammed enough on Twitch to know how to share it out, but I would love all of you to share this stream right now to as many friends as possible to create as much awareness for that, whether you use it within Twitch or whether you use it on Twitter to drive here. So, all right, let's keep it going.
What's up?
Nino, what's good?
How you doing, Gary?
Very good.
Yeah, much love from Germany, man. I appreciate you, all the positivity you and your team put out. It's really inspiring. Just
thank you,
appreciate
Nino.
It.
Thank you so much.
So my question is, maybe to give you first a little bit of background, over the last 3 years, I did, basically I learned my skills. I got some degrees because I wanted to work for a big brand. And after that, I got an internship with one of the biggest brands in the world. And I got the opportunity to work for them, which was amazing. And I basically said, well, I want to break the door in, right? I have the foot into the door now. So I want to go in. And I worked my ass off to get there. And there were a lot of opportunities opening up to the end of my internship. But right around that time, Corona broke loose. So the opportunities vanished. And now I'm living in my parents' basement, basically, again, with 24, which is fine. So I said, let me lean into my personal brand because I'm into fitness. I've been training for like 8 years, a little bit over that. And I'm also a coach. So I said, well, I'm going to develop my brand a little bit and push that on Instagram and wherever because I'm just in it. But I catch myself looking back because I don't want to miss out on the corporate world as well because I love that as well. I met so many amazing people. So it's like,
good
how
news.
Can I combine that?
Easily. Like, you know, as soon as we get to some sort of normalcy and corporations are hiring again, which they will, you can apply for a job or another internship and be right back there. Like this is a moment in time, and the beauty for you is you're so young, you have your entire life in front of you. If you want to do the fitness stuff in your personal brand, you can do that after hours and on weekends. And then and the other thing is you may change your mind in 3 years or 6 years.
True.
The biggest issue that I see out there is that we don't put changing your mind on a pedestal. I believe that changing my mind is my greatest strength as an operator. The ability to change your mind is powerful. Most people fear changing their mind because they're worried about what people will judge them for when just a year ago they said, I'm gonna be a fitness coach. And then 9 months later, they're selling pizzas and everyone's like, oh, you're full of shit. And it's not about being full of shit. It's you fucking changed your mind.
Yeah, true.
I think laziness and changing your mind are two things that are completely misunderstood. I think most people think that changing your mind is a show of weakness and you don't know what you're doing. I think it's the reverse. People obviously very much look down on laziness. Believe it or not, for somebody who's like hard work, I actually see laziness as an insight to that you're not passionate about that thing and you just need to do another thing.
Yeah. helps so much.
What I'm saying is, I apologize. Yeah. What I'm saying there is, you can do the corporate thing and then 4 years later be like, wait a minute, actually I loved being a health, you know, professional, and then you can do that and you'll still fucking be under 30.
Yeah. Yeah, true. Yeah, I don't know. I just feel stuck right now because it was always going so fast and I was ready to kill it, you know, because I'm go.
There was people that were ready to have the greatest life of all time that got hit by a car and died. There are people who just built a monster business in the 1940s in Europe and then a war broke out. There are people there are people who were ready to kill it and actually died from COVID.
Yeah, facts.
Like, yeah, man. The fuck are you complaining about?
No, like, no one gives a shit. You know what I mean? I get that, yeah.
It's like, don't be sad, be happy.
Yeah, man. Look,
anybody who's watching right now, if you did not have a loved one die from corona, you need to be happy. I don't give a fuck about your job. I don't give a fuck about, you know, the missed thing. I don't give a fuck about that you missed your favorite concert or your sporting event. Like we need to put shit in perspective.
Yeah, true. So true.
You're winning. The fact that you have a parent's home to go to is better than a lot of people.
Yeah, facts.
You just need to switch it. It's kind of like an on-off switch. Instead of spending your time thinking about like, oh God, I'm so unlucky. Just when I was finally there, in 100 years, this pandemic. My friend, do you understand that if this pandemic started 3 months earlier, Kobe Bryant would be alive?
It's a shame.
You know what I mean? If this pandemic happened a year ago at the same time, my great friend and the great, unbelievable young artist Nipsey Hussle would be alive. Like, bro, don't be sad. Yeah. Like, honestly, I'm kind of happy. I'm glad that you got punched in the stomach because it's going to make you more resilient in the future. It's going to make you more thoughtful when you make decisions in the future because you've now lived through shit can happen.
Yeah. Yeah, so true.
You know,
yeah,
I just need to just change your mind.
Keep it up.
Yeah, just like not only keep it up, realize this is an opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah, man, I'm trying to learn every day, bro. Like I'm trying to make it work. I'm just trying to be the best self every day and just, but I get what you mean.
Yeah, go ahead.
Maybe one more thing that maybe relates to it a little. When I was working there, like there were a lot of positive people and I drew energy from that because I love to work surrounded by positive people because I'm positive as well. It's just an uncertain time. But now that I'm back here, I'm missing like the influence of positive people.
So put positivity in your ear.
I do, man. That's why I'm talking
more
to you.
I appreciate it, bro. So more.
Yeah.
Why don't you contact everybody in your phone and send them a Google Hangout link and get on, you know what, every day at 6 o'clock for 2 hours and just shoot positivity. Take the initiative. Fuck dwelling. Fucking go all in. You take control. Man. You take control. You create positivity. Why don't you text all the fucking people that you found positive and say, hey, man, hey gal, do you want to go on Zoom tonight? Let's get 20 of our friends together. Think of literally go through your phone from A to fucking Z and find every positive person you know and send them a link and say, I'll see you at 8 p.m. tonight.
Yeah, man, that's a great idea.
Well, good. That's what I'm here for.
Thank you so much.
Take care, brother. Stay well.
You too.
Listen, just like I told Nino, like you're in control. Like you want positive people? Go gather them. You throw the party. You like some party that doesn't exist anymore? Great. Go and fucking throw your own party. We're in fucking control out here. You're in fucking control out here. Let's go, fucking 7,000 people on Twitch. Let's get this to 10K. Twitch fam, hit up everybody that you know that fucks with Twitch. I'll get my shit together and really understand how the platform works. So I don't know how you can message us or share this or co-screen it or whatever the fuck you guys do because you're the fucking best. Go do it.
Hey, Gary. How are you?
How are you, my friend? What's your name?
I'm good. I'm Saran and I'm from Asia, from Sri Lanka.
Sri Lanka. Very nice. I can, yes.
Okay, so I'll just get right into it. So I started like creating content in 2013. So, and like since then I've been making content. Like I'm all good with that. Like I've been following my passion and I've been making videos and I've been like I'm all good in that side. Like You understand what I mean?
Yes, I do.
So the thing is, So the thing is, I'm struggling to post it. Like, I don't know.
Oh, wait a minute. So you can make the content, but you don't put it out?
Yeah, I don't. Like, I make content for others. Like, okay. It's always been like this. Like, it's always like telling someone else's story is easy for me, but telling my own story to the world is hard.
Do you want to tell your story, or do you enjoy telling other people's stories? Because there's an incredible amount of storytellers who are far better about telling their story than are people that are good at telling their story.
Yeah, but I just want to try, but I'm like,
are you scared?
I had a fear.
Are you scared of what your parents or relatives will think? Are you scared of what strangers will think? You know, because what you're worried about is judgment.
Yeah, I think so. I just wanted to hear that from you. Like,
I'm here
stop
to do
giving
it.
A fuck about it.
Listen, but I know that you know the answer, which is why I want to go a little bit deeper, which is, are you,
okay,
do you think you're more worried about your parents' or relatives' opinion? Or do you think that you're more worried about anonymous people's opinions? What would you say when I ask you that?
Anonymous people, like my family supports me, like to everything I do.
That's awesome. Yeah, you know, do you know how to ride a bike?
Yeah.
Do you know how to swim?
No.
Okay. Are you scared of swimming?
Yes.
Yeah, I was too as a kid. Were you scared to ride a bike at first?
Yeah, of course.
You putting out content is similar to swimming and riding a bike. With swimming, you still haven't done it. With riding a bike, you were scared to get hurt and fall off, but eventually you figured it out. You've had two experiences that are cliche to almost every child of like two things that one could fear, and you figured one out and you haven't figured out another one. That's who you are with content. You need to become the Sahran that learned how to ride the bike, not the one that has stayed away from swimming. You understand?
Yeah, like I have the superpower. I call it my superpower because like if I put some content out, like it blows up. Like my first TikTok video got like 400,000 views and same on YouTube, it blows up.
So you're a great content creator.
Yeah, I know it. Like I'm scared of posting. So thank you for the advice. And one last thing before I go.
Please.
Can you please follow me on Instagram? Like it will really boost my confidence to like post some real shit.
You got it. What's your handle? I see it here.
HK. Yeah, it's right there. Yeah.
I got you, my friend. So let me ask you a question. You have a lot of followers for only 5 posts. Do you take down posts a lot?
I mean, like I create content for others, like for businesses, individuals.
And they tag you?
Yeah.
Did you make
it?
You made this?
No, I didn't make it.
Okay, got it.
I don't want to lie.
No worries. Yeah, don't worry. Mine's bad. I love it, brother. Good luck.
Thank you very much.
Okay, let's keep it going. Life enhancer, it's good, right? Appreciate it, Polina. Big shout out to the YouTube crew. Restream. I see everybody going hard on that. Polina, why? What's good? Daniel Omega, Sam Ben, what's good? Yes, that was a pitch, Sam Ben. He completely came just for the follow, which, fuck it. I respect the hustle. Let's keep it going. Ashley, how are you?
Hey, Gary.
How's it going?
I'm good. How are you?
Super well.
Awesome. Well, first and foremost, I hope you and your family are safe and doing well.
We are. Thank you, Ash.
Awesome. So two questions. First question is that I went to school for advertising. I got my business degree, and I've always loved marketing, branding, advertising. I moved to New York 3 years ago, and it's interesting because I consider myself to be really passionate and I work really hard and I love it. Like I love a company like VaynerMedia, especially VaynerSports, because I'm a sports fanatic. So, you know, the two worlds colliding. And for the past 3 years, I've had jobs, but I've never been able to get far enough in an interview process or really be able to get a job or come close to a job that I'm really passionate about. And I find it interesting because I work hard and I love it. And so I'm just wondering, where do you think like the disconnect lies between my capabilities and actually kind of getting my foot in the door with it?
You're accepting jobs.
I'm accepting jobs.
You're accepting jobs.
Okay.
The disconnect is you've said yes to people that have offered you jobs that weren't as ideal as they could have been because you didn't go hard enough to get as many interviews in the 5 to 40 places that could be the place. The disconnect is you've said yes.
Oh God, how ironic. Okay, and so I just, okay. All right, yeah, I mean, yeah, no, mind blown.
It is mind blowing. It's like so fun for me. You know, it's like, there's so many things I'm not good at, but like navigating life decisions and like shit like this, there's just so much clarity for me. Like you're talking, I'm listening, I'm enjoying your vibe. And then it's just, you know, the answer is you shouldn't have said yes to the jobs you've said yes to, and you should have kept going to get interviews in the places you want. Like you should have spammed VaynerMedia's 1,000 employees in perpetuity until one of them got you. Like, got it? You haven't gone hard enough in the conviction of getting the jobs in the places that you wanted to, and then what put the nail in the coffin was you said yes to the jobs that you've said yes to.
Okay, well, with that in mind, I decided to go straight to the source, which is you. And so if you ever find the opportunity for Vayner Sports, you let me know because sports and marketing is my jam.
I love
football,
it.
So, my jam.
Well, who do you like?
I can't tell you. You're not going to hire me. I'm a Dolphins. I'm a Dolphins fan. I'm from Miami. I'm sorry. I know. Well, could
do you
I
live in do you live in Miami right now?
I live in New York. I live in New York. I just right, I'm here because it. Of right. For, you know,
would
to be
you,
with my family.
Would you move to Miami and work for the Dolphins?
100%.
Why don't you send me an email right now to Gary at VaynerMedia and put in Miami Dolphins? I'm sure you know that I'm business partners with Steve Ross, the owner of the Dolphins, and I have real connections, or maybe you don't know that.
I didn't know that because I would have most definitely led with that. But you taught me anyway, which is awesome. I will do that.
Gary at VaynerMedia, I want a job with the Dolphins. Let me see what I can do.
Gary, you're a hero. I appreciate it. And I just want to say, you know, I think it's really inspiring that what you've done is, you know, obviously you can't go to Hudson Yards. You can't do what you do. You can't travel. But you're still, you know, you're helping people everywhere. And I think it's awesome. And it inspires me.
Thank you. Wait till this next part of our chapter. I'm going to really help you. Send me that email.
Gary, you're the best. Have a great day.
Bye, Ash. To answer the questions in the comment section, the person that's laughing in the background is my mom, who never wants to appear in any of my content, but she's literally watching right there and she's laughing her ass off. That's making me laugh. All right, let's keep it going.
Yo, Gary.
John, what's good?
Hey, thanks for having me on. Been following you for a while, but I'm in hospice sales. So if anyone doesn't know, hospice is end of life care. So we go to nursing homes mainly. Yeah. They're like our main referral source. Nursing homes have been hit the hardest out of all this, you know, so we're not able to go in. Our partners aren't able to go in there. So I started a healthcare professional group on Facebook actually back in December, but it really took off in March with everything going on. So I'm just trying to keep everyone connected, helping people, you know, share their skills. I've been doing one-on-one interviews with different people, you know, in the long-term care field. Trying to provide as much value as possible, but I don't know how to expand on it. I don't know
what does expand on it mean to you?
I don't know where I want to go with it. Like, it's doing well, you know, I'm getting everyone connected. Like last night we had a Cinco de Mayo event. We had new facilities showing off their facilities. So people can't do tours, you know, so they're able to show them off.
So you're trying to figure out if this should be an evergreen kind of nonprofit brand builder, or should you convert it into a business?
Right. Yeah, like, so the people that I'm working with aren't direct referral sources, so they don't refer patients to me, but they're good people to have on your side, you know, indirect referral sources. I like networking people together. I've liked doing the interviews with people. I don't know if it's some sort of side gig that I could put together.
Well, let me throw something at you. When I started making Gary V videos that weren't wine videos, there was no obvious path to what I was going to do with it. I just knew that building brand and sharing my thoughts and being a good person would lead to opportunity.
So just keep going with it and see where it ends up.
It's similar to the young lady that we just had. You know, it's not only going with it, like doing the right thing is always the right thing. Like building brand is always the right thing. Like karma is the most practical strategy in business. Like kindness, caring, like people are so confused right now because there's so much political tension, there's so much anger, there's so much stuff going on in our world pre-COVID that people are super confused. Like the way you actually win is by doing all the nicest shit humanly possible. Like nice guys win. Like this whole like nice guys, you know, finish last makes me laugh. Nice guys may lose that race that you're talking about, the micro, but they're winning in life. Dick faces may win that race, but they're losing in life. And so doing all this stuff, but also similar to the last call, not saying yes right away if it's not the right thing. There's been a million opportunities for me to monetize things that I've said no to that later I monetized and monetized far more successfully. So it's not only stay the course, John, it's when the first opportunity comes to sell it, to get a sponsor, to create a referral program, it might not be the right one. And having the strength and the foresight and the strategy capabilities to realize it's not the right time to monetize or to act on this is a huge deal.
Right, and I appreciate that because I was putting out like LinkedIn content too when I started getting people offering me different jobs. And I like what I'm doing now, so I didn't want to jump on anything new just to jump. And another question though, I've been trying to put out LinkedIn content, hospice education videos, you know, just a minute and a half.
It's really cool.
But how do you do such a serious topic? Can you do that on like TikTok or anything like that?
I don't know if TikTok, you know, the answer is you can do, listen, the answer is you can do anything on anything. Like hospice is like, you know, very heavy shit.
Right.
And so but I would probably say that LinkedIn and a Facebook group are probably like the smarter places to go with that. I think Facebook's super important. Facebook inherently is older. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got a lot of 50, 60 year olds on Facebook who are facing the extremely sad moments of their parents being in a place where they're starting to get ill or terminally ill or things of that nature. So, you know, it's a tough subject matter to talk about. You know, I'm sure, John, when you're like living through life and like going to like the, you know, the neighborhood picnic and it's like, hey, I'm John. Hey, I'm Rick. What do you do? I'm like, you know, like, I'm sure you get, you know, I'm sure like people don't want to, you know, the reverse for me, it's been like wine and social media and people always want to lean in. You know, I'm sure you, just in living in real life, you know that it's a subject matter that's kind of tough for people. I do think LinkedIn and Facebook especially, I think is a very powerful platform for you.
Yeah, and I think Facebook's great actually because I've been trying to get more into like the senior care groups for the adult children. So I can, even if they're not going to be referred to us because, you know, we're only in like the Philadelphia area. So if they're somewhere that's, you know, far away, at least I'm giving them information to help them make a decision.
That's right, brother. I think keep going and the opportunity will absolutely show itself and then be thoughtful when the time is there. And Better Half 206 is right? Hospice is about love and caring. It is like the kindest, most noble thing. It's just an uncomfortable subject matter for so many people because it's like a death sentence in a lot of people's minds. But I couldn't agree more with Better Half 206, the humanity, and just thank you for the industry you're in, brother.
Oh, yeah, no problem. Thank you, Gary.
Talk to you soon.
All right, take care. Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye. Dustin.
Yo.
Somebody wrote that I was a goober. I thought that would have been a good one to flash up here.
I wasn't sure if it was the right time for that while you're talking about love and care.
Yeah, no. Somebody razzing on me is always...
Okay.
There's never a wrong time to throw up a negative comment.
All right.
Because I fucking absorb that shit like a fucking monster.
Here's another goober for you.
God damn it, John. All right, let's keep going. Extreme Zach.
How's it going?
Things are well. You?
I'm doing great. Okay, I'll dive right into it because I kind of have two questions if you have time. But so as someone who has become a self-proclaimed expert at right hook marketing for my furniture store, I'm wondering what type of content can we make for people that would be more of a job content in the context of a furniture store that's not very design oriented. We're more entry level to mid level. So the people aren't necessarily so obsessed with the furniture itself or the real designy aspect.
By still talking about the utility of it. Like a $80 chair or $13 chair or whatever the fuck we're talking about here still has information about it that people might care about, right? Like, I don't know, like what's the cushion feel like? Like what wood's it made of? Like where's it made from? Like you know, for everybody who's watching that doesn't know the terminology we're using, Zach's being very kind. He's referencing to a book that I wrote years ago called Jab, 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 Right Hook. And the concept is most people fuck up social media and life for that matter because they just go into right hooks, which is they're trying to land the sale. And Zach clearly, and this works on digital marketing, has figured out sales content, right? Here's a cup, $6.99, you know, away we go. And so that's a right hook going in for the sale. I've noticed and have been proven over the last 10 years that people that are best at marketing know how to throw out value, jabs, that also then helps them close their sales. And so what he's asking is, you know, how do we find a balance in a retail environment where we're selling shit? It's like, and I get where you're going, right? Like there's obviously the super high end things where the designer herself or himself, the fabric type. I still think you talk about, you know, utility and practicality at that price point.
Right, yeah, I've thought about doing things like, you know, reviewing.
Stop right there.
Yeah.
The whole game's breaking because you said I thought.
Right. Yeah.
Like this is, you don't need fucking me and T. Oh, yeah. You know where I'm going. You don't need, like, I fucking hate I thought. Because every I thought is a missed opportunity from you putting out something that was.
Absolutely, yeah. And okay, again, if you've got time here, I've got another follow-up question here. So I've just recently started to, like my own advertising agency, basically what I'm doing for Furniture Extreme, which is the company that I work for, to go help other furniture stores do the same thing with their marketing. So my question is, you always talk about trying to hack culture and scale the unscalable. What has we've noticed with our marketing, a thing that always indexes the best is human interaction, right? Then when you can put that at scale, like you talk about all the time. But my question is, can I scale myself for other furniture stores? Like, would you, for instance, run ads for a different wine company, like as Gary, as you're obviously doing that for Gary B, or is that something that you would kind of leave off to the side? Kind of torn on that, I guess.
One more time. Do you own this furniture store?
No, I don't own it. Like, I'm basically like just like a number two in command. Like, I'm just
you're
like,
an employee.
I'm an employee, absolutely. Yeah.
So for me, it's different because with Wine Library, it's my family business, and with Empathy, it's my business. And you know, I'm not an employee, so of course I would not do that for another wine store.
Okay.
But if I was you, I would go start my own company.
Right. Yeah. Which is what I've done here. I mean, the interesting part is my mentor, one of my mentors, I should say, and the owner of the business is also a partner with me in this. Because he's
been got it. So the owner of this business and your mentor, who you have a great relationship with, recognize that you're talented and instead of like trying to suppress you and not do your own thing, came in and is a partner in this business.
Oh yeah, no, he would never suppress me. Like,
that's awesome.
Tim's watching right now, and Tim, I have so much.
Tim, I have so much respect for you. Tim is doing something that I have the most admiration for.
Right.
Which is super hard. Sometimes they catch a young talent by the tiger by the tail. They know they've got something good. It's helping their business. That person doesn't own the business. Sure, they can pay them more. But a lot of times when that kid realizes, wait a minute, I want to do something for myself, and they go, that owner resents it or tries to suppress it or tries to not make it happen instead of leaning in. The biggest thing I've learned in my life is you can't stop winners.
Right.
That's a great job by Tim. Big shout out to Tim on that. So what's the question on that?
So my question is, again, like, can I, or should I? I sort of can, but I can scale myself within Furniture Extreme and like be like me sitting on the couch and stuff like that works really well. Me talking about this, come on in, all that sort of stuff. But if I'm running ads for another store, is it?
I see. No, yeah. I think you need to build them up.
Okay. But I could do it, for instance, like there's a different store in Edmonton, for instance. Like, could I kind of almost like white label myself and be like, I'm Zach, not Extreme Zach, but I'm Zach here with this store?
Yes, as long as Tim's cool with it.
Right, which, yeah, that's true. I would never do it if he wasn't, so I mean.
I believe that, I can tell. So the answer is yes, when and if you guys have that conversation.
Right, okay, so it's something, and you think
that. And if you get good at building up other people, notice what I do with my content. I made you know, Chris Mott and Eric Kastner stars on Wine Library TV. I made India and Stunwin, right. And exactly. Right? Look what's going on with Dustin. Look at his face. Dustin, show him your fucking face. Look at this. Look, look. Yeah. Dustin's never been so popular in his fucking life. He doesn't know what to do with his newfound fame. Dustin, you're totally confused, right? Tell everybody, you're fucking confused.
Very confused.
Yeah, get out of here. So Zach, you know, like what I do is I use my platform and I co-sign people, and what's happening? Dustin's getting bombarded with fucking 400 people. Like, you be my podcast guy. Like right. you don't think D-Rock and Dustin have options? Like, D-Rock has unlimited options. D-Rock can make 10 times more money by leaving me, but he realizes for himself that A, he likes me, I assume. D-Rock, I love you. And like, B, like, he can go on, you know, and win with me longer because he feels that's the way. What you can do is you can go into those other stores and sit on the couch with the owner of that store and create that cosign.
Exactly. So I guess my question is like, so I can do that, but the problem I'm running into is like, for instance, even in this other store, that's only like a 3-hour drive for me. It's like, I'm so busy, like, in at Furniture Extreme, like working on that, like to even drive the 3 hours, I can do that, you know, a couple times a month or sort of thing, but I can't scale that if I was to get a client in my hometown of in California, for instance. So is that, I don't want to lean into something that I can't scale, I guess, but I'm always trying to scale the things that are unscalable. Like you talked about the, like Taylor
both.
School, so
both.
Yeah.
I scale unscalable things, and I built 1,000-person infrastructure. And it's, by the way, that 1,000-person infrastructure started with one person.
Right. So basically just do what you can with that side, but then just and then.
And don't just be niche to furniture.
Right. Well, how do you mean, I guess? Elaborate on that.
Storytelling for, if you're an agency, you know the tactics. You may not be the expert for the subject matter, but you'd surely know how to, based on running ads and creating content, you know what's working on social networks, so you can deploy that without being the face of the flower shop or the baker or the fucking real estate agent.
Yeah, exactly. I can, that's what I was kind of thinking originally with doing it, but then I was like, you know, some of the things that work the best is literally like we've done a, you know, a selfie video where I'm just sitting on a couch and I'm talking. I'm like, this is the best ad we've ever run, or one of them. And I'm like, you know,
But then you can direct somebody else to do it.
Right, kind of give them the instructions.
You don't need to be the face. Listen, Zach, I know you got a great fucking face, but you don't need to be in every fucking piece of content. You can tell Karen to be in her content, and Karen may suck as the flower shop person, and then you have to go another route, or Karen might be more charismatic, and it will work. Like that Russian Safira lady yesterday, you know, she's going to win.
Yeah. No, that's, I guess I have a hard time sometimes just, like you're saying, like certain people are better on camera, certain people aren't, and it just seems like in the furniture industry, that's kind of been a hard thing to find other people who are sort of like that. But
I promise you, Zach, you're not the only talented person in the furniture industry, and I'm sure your first video sucked.
I'm not. Absolutely.
But so that's what I mean. Like I get it theoretically, but you've got to deal in reality. Like I'm sure, you know, I get it.
Right. No, that makes sense, man. I'm coming to see you in Edmonton. Pre-COVID, we were supposed to.
I know. And I know it's been rebooked, and I hope it sticks. I mean, everything's so on. But I will get my ass to Edmonton. I'm fucking obsessed with it.
I'm bringing my Gary Vee sneakers. My boss has 4 pairs. He knows they're going to be worth someday a whole bunch when you buy the Jets. If you're watching this, buy those shoes, because if you buy the Jets, those are going to be worth millions. So
thank you, brother.
If you can talk to you soon. Yeah, see you, Gary.
Take care, Zach. Yeah, I don't know about millions, but I definitely expect Gary Vee's to be flipping in 25 years for at least 1,000. And I think they're about 100 on eBay now. So free money if you're willing to wait 25 years. All right, let's keep going. James, what's good?
I'm good. How are you? Grand Rising.
It's really good to see you, bro.
It's good to see you. First, I want to thank you for this opportunity. You know, shit is priceless, and those sneakers is going to be priceless.
I appreciate it.
I've been watching your videos for a minute, and today I'm looking for tactics. You know, there is a lot of shit I want to do. You know, I know what I want to do. I saw an old Daily View where this lady asked how she could manage multiple projects, and you know she wasn't worried about spreading too thin. It was confusion for her. For me, it's dividing my time, you know, not splitting my focus, putting my all into each project.
Okay.
So I was just wondering, how could I divide my time?
By dividing it.
Okay. Fair enough. Very fair. And then...
But play with me here. Play with me here.
Okay.
Like, what's the struggle?
The struggle is, like, I just got too much shit going on, and, like, I just can't, like, focus on one thing at a time and then move to the next thing. You know what I mean? Like they're very different. Like
what
one
are they?
Thing's creative and then one thing's like more finance, you know?
Okay. So what's the, what do you, I think you can switch to them. I just think that you might just be beating yourself up and have decided that because you have two things that you're not accomplishing either because you're stretched too thin. Mm. Like what's making you think you can't balance it?
Probably myself, you know?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Like, yeah. If you told me like they all failed, that's the results. But like, I think a lot of people just create an ideology, or like one person they respect or like, or they think is successful tells them that they need to focus on one thing and then they just believe them. Mm. Like, why can't you balance the creative thing you're doing and the finance thing you're doing? Mm. I would argue you are balancing them. As long as one of them doesn't go out of business, or as long as one doesn't bring you deep unhappiness, you actually are balancing them. Mm-hmm. I think people just get into philosophy for no fucking reason.
Nah, for real. I appreciate that. And yeah, just one more question. When I don't have an audience to ask, how do I figure out the best way to provide value and engage them? You know, like, I don't give a fuck about the followers, the likes. Like, I want 17 real followers that comment on every post.
By making, because you're gonna have one piece of content. Have you started TikTok?
No.
James, listen to me. TikTok is free audience. For everybody who's listening, and by the way, I see you Twitch, you're almost at 10,000 people. I fuck with you guys on Twitch. You guys are really going at it hard. TikTok is free audience, bro. Mm-hmm. Like, how many, like, you know that I was gonna ask you that question. How the fuck did you come on here this morning and not set up a TikTok account before we got on here? It's free audience.
You're right.
I know I'm right. It's free fucking audience. You want 17 real fans? Make one TikTok when we hang up right now, and you got it. Your big fucking dream of 17, James, I just fucking gave it to you. Hang the fuck up. Make a TikTok of you brushing your fucking teeth, and you've got 17 free fans.
All right,
bet.
I see you, Gary. Hey, one last request. You know, when you're in Edmonton, can I link you up?
Is 100%, that cool? And we could, 100%. Okay. Let's go. Sure. Damn, everyone's from fucking Edmonton. All right,
Ben, I'm down south.
I get peace. You. Peace. All right, let's keep it going. Enough. Like, hey, hi.
Hi. Hi, Gary. How's it going?
Good. What's your name?
My name's Tori.
Tori, so nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too. So I'm a photographer and videographer. I'm based in Central Florida. I focus mainly on weddings and portraits, things like that. I studied art and photography all through college, and I worked really hard to like keep myself out of debt. I worked like multiple jobs. I've done everything I can to, I went to college knowing I wanted to own my own business. I didn't, you know, do it because anyone told me to. It's like I viewed it as my business investment. And so I've carried that mentality of like being financially, you know, safe with my money, like into my business. And I feel like it might be holding me back.
You're not investing enough.
What's that?
You're not investing enough because you're very conservative with the dollars.
Right. So like things like wedding wire, the knot, you know, going to like wedding expos, things like that. Like,
try it. Let me give you an example. I ran for WineText. Ooh, good segue. Get in here, Dustin. For WineText, right? I ran an ad in a 300,000 person email newsletter from one of the biggest wine kind of companies this week, 2 days ago, right? I couldn't wait. Like, it was like Christmas. Like, I couldn't wait to, you know, see how it was gonna do. But I also knew, and I even told my fam, I was like, I even told a story about like one of my worst, you know, advertising moments when I bought a huge ad on luxury.com in 1997 for Wine Library, and I thought it was gonna change our company. We got like two orders, and I spent like $10,000, which was like $1 billion for that small business at the time. And punchline is, on Monday, it didn't do well. Like, it just didn't do well, right? And I was thrilled because I got the learning. And I could afford it. It was a lot of money, but I could afford it. My dad's company could afford it. That was why the decision was made. You have to not fear being wrong, and you have to not value the cash. Cash is king, but when it holds you back, I think you're being very self-aware. I think you can feel it. So what I would say is this, everything you just brought up, the knot, expos, things of that nature, you have to do them when you can afford it to go to zero. Like, Tori, you basically have to, you know how you paid for school and fucking worked your fucking face off? You need to realize the education of doing an expo, the education of doing the knot, the execution of doing the wire, the execution of paying a wedding influencer a fortune, right? You need to realize that you doing that is you paying for an education, but better than fucking college, you might actually be right half the time and it pays it back immediately. You need to convert it not into I made a bad business decision, I lost the money. You need to convert it into I'm gonna learn from this, and if it goes to zero, it's just gonna be a funny fucking story I tell one day, just like Gary did about luxury.com.
Right.
If I ever find you fucking luxury.com fuckers that rip me off, I'm gonna punch you in the neck. Anyway, Tori, that's the game.
Right.
If you can go to zero, every decision has to be, I'm gonna spend 8,000 on this, and if it goes to zero, I won't die.
Right.
Yeah. Got it?
Yeah.
Is that how you think about it?
Yeah, because right now I'm only 3 years into like really trying to get my business started up, and I'm working a part-time job still. I work at a photography museum, and it takes up a lot of my time. So being able to work from home has kind of like been like a nice taste of like what I'm hoping to get to, where I can work my business full time. So that's where I'm at, is like I'm still not financially, you know, able to do my photography full time. I have to work.
I have great news.
Yes.
You're super young.
I mean, I know, but.
No. See, the funniest part of that sentence is you can't put the but in there. Take the but out and okay. Go back to the part of I know.
Right.
How old are you?
I'll be 30 in January.
I worked in a liquor store when I was 30.
Yeah. I know. I'm impatient. I know that.
At 30, I worked in a liquor store. And when it was the holidays, I would literally ring up people. I was a cashier. I would literally stock shelves. I would literally pack boxes and have them ship out.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I was doing.
Yeah. And I'm not afraid of the hard work. I'm not afraid.
Clearly.
I did it all. Clearly. And all that, but
you're impatient for the thing you love.
Yeah.
Can I, your day job is, are you maximizing dollars there? Are you learning something there? Like, is it just a job?
It's right now, it's been great because it is within my field of interest. It's at a museum of photography, but
that's cool.
It's a desk job and it's not my passion. It's a paycheck.
I think for a lot of people like you, you need to get more strategic about the paycheck. Like what I would be doing probably at all times is applying for other jobs that either give me more dollars so I can invest so I can leave, or something that may lead to more opportunities or I enjoy even more. Being the right hand of somebody who I admire 10 times over as a much better photographer. I think where you're misplaying it, and I see a lot of people commenting about this, so it's resonating, is the strategy of just the paycheck needs to be smarter. And for a lot of people here, they need to work at 7-Eleven so they can be on their phone the whole time building up their personal brand and make less money than they are at a job that pays them 2 times more, but they have no time during the 8-hour day because they actually have to do their job. So they have to take even a shittier job, but that's a strategy. You might need to take a job that pays you even more that you might even like less, because like you said, it's a desk job anyway. So yeah, the facade is it's in your field, but it's not in your fucking field. So why not make 8,000 more a year by taking some other job? Because that strategy gives you that 8,000, you know, 6,000 post-tax to put into the knot or do a thing that could change your game, or take less than the desk job, but then become the apprentice or right hand or gopher of the greatest photographer that you've ever, you know, witnessed.
Mm-hmm.
You have to get much more strategic about your day job.
Right. Okay. And I guess that's kind of where I'm at too. I've been in Daytona, and it's about an hour out from Orlando, which is where most of my clients for my photography come from. And I've been meaning to get back to Orlando because that's where I'm originally from. But my job is keeping me in Daytona.
I want to punch your job in the fucking face. I'm going to fucking go down to Daytona during spring break, of course, and then quickly go over and punch your job in its face. Your fucking job is pissing me off, Tor.
Me too, sometimes.
Tor, you need to apply to 800 fuck. I don't give, get in a fucking Pluto costume and work in fucking Disney. I don't give a fuck. Get the fuck to Orlando.
Okay.
I'm being serious. Get your ass to fucking Orlando.
Okay.
What are we doing here? The job has no fucking value. You're just in a fucking hamster wheel.
Right.
Get the fuck out of that job. Now, of course this happens when 50 million fucking people lose their jobs. So it's not like, you know, like the timing is fucking whack. However, that doesn't stop you applying to 800 jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the fuck are we doing here? Like,
I think I'm scared to, I think I've always, because I'm always so like, what's the next goal? What's the next goal? What's the next goal? I'm scared to take the step backwards to take a job that like, you know.
The fuck we've been doing here for fucking a month on Tea with Gary Vee. Humility is the fucking superpower. Humility is the unlock.
Mm-hmm.
You need to be humble.
Right.
Like, I want to, like, Tori, you need to be humble. Like, I need to go to a Knicks Magic game when they get back to playing, go to the stadium, sit there, and see you serving some fucking popcorn. And then I'm going to say, that fucking girl's on her way.
Right.
Humility. Get your fucking ass to Orlando. People are going crazy about your photos. Let's put up your Instagram again.
Thanks.
Like, people are going nuts. Like, hey, anybody, like, if you
need... Anyone in Florida getting married, hire me.
Listen to me. Get to fucking Orlando. And that means applying to 500 jobs this week. And that's what you do for 3 hours at night. For okay. real. And by the way, there are a lot of businesses that are exploding during this time. There's a lot that are struggling, going out of business. On the flip side, there's a lot that are growing.
Yeah, I've been getting lots of inquiries lately. So I've not been feeling any sort of, you know, heat from this. It's actually been kind of nice to-
Tori, is there anything keeping you in Daytona that I don't know about?
Just the job, just the constant paycheck.
Mm-mm.
You the need security to be, of that.
It blows my face off that people in this generation don't use the internet at night to get them out of their fucking jail. You need to be fucking applying for jobs 24/7, 2 hours a fucking night. In fucking Orlando.
Right. Okay.
2 hours a night tour.
2 hours. Yep.
2 hours. Awesome.
We can do that. Thanks right, so much.
Luck. You're welcome. Take care. All right. Good show today. I really appreciate everybody being on today. What a great day. What did we get to on Twitch? Did we break that 10,000 barrier? I know we were.
We did.
Unbelievable.
Like, just maybe like 10,000.7 or something like that.
I mean, like, they went ham.
Yeah, I couldn't keep up with the comments. It's going too crazy.
No, it's really, really good. Like, I'm really grateful to Twitch. I saw something like number 28, like, on the ranking. So, like, we have to get the team together and really go get serious about Twitch. Yeah, we need a fuck it. We need some emojis in my face.
Right.
Like, there's a ton of cultural things we need to do in there. Tyler's gonna finally shine. He's obsessed. So, let's and then I'm gonna get Bugga to fucking restream me, and then we'll really get into the fucking.
That'll be sick.
So really appreciate it. Thank you so much for everybody who joined in. For a lot of the new, how many people are in here for the first time? Comments. If it's your first time watching, just put in first. Just curious about that. And also, when we end up here, nice, a lot of firsts. Let's go. Twitch coming in hard. I love it. Thank you guys so much. Thank you so much. I'm just very humbled. I will see you tomorrow. And most of all, I know a ton of you have not signed up for the podcast. Been looking at some data. So if you want to hear more positivity consistently, especially because I'm worried that post-COVID, there will be no Tea with Gary Vee. It is time for you to subscribe to the podcast, which is absolutely the morning alternative. Here it is. As we end today's podcast, I want to give a huge shout out to the people. You know, it's so funny. People that leave reviews and written reviews of this podcast on Apple, Spotify, and all the other platforms just mean the world to me. You've taken an extra 13 to 95 seconds to show love and also give context to people of why this is a worthwhile podcast. So I appreciate that so much. And even more fun, because I think we all love a little cosign or a shout out or a little awareness. I'm gonna have the team give a couple of shout outs daily on our favorite reviews. So take it away. Which were our favorites this week?
Thanks, Gary. Today's highlighted review is Long Time First Time by Sorgatron. I've been listening and reading Gary's thoughts since before his first book, and it has inspired much of the last 10 years of building something. I'm happy to be doing every day with my own studio for podcasting and video production. The podcast has been great to keep those inspirations accessible in my daily life. if you need a kick in the ass, this is a daily direct injection of motivation and practical advice. Keep those reviews coming. We could highlight yours next.